الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والكاظمين الغيظ. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In the deen of Islam, the best thing that a person can have after accepting Iman is akhlaq, is good character. That is why the Prophet ﷺ said, the person who has good akhlaq is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet ﷺ with the greatest akhlaq. Allah ta'ala said about the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that we have given you, we have kept you at the highest standards of akhlaq. And in the deen of Islam, every religion, every society in the world emphasizes good akhlaq. Every religion in the world teaches that a person should be adorned with good akhlaq. However, the amount of emphasis the Deen of Islam puts on Akhlaqi Hamida, that is not seen in any other religion, any other society, any other philosophy, any other ideology. Imagine that the Prophet ﷺ declared that the original, the main goal of his Nabuwa was the completion and the education of Akhlaq. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that innama bu'istu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq, that I've been sent, the objective, the goal of my prophethood, my risalat, is that to teach, to educate people about akhlaq. Hence, this was the real purpose of the nabuwa of Sayyidina Rasulullah, to teach good akhlaq to people. So the extent and the emphasis the Deen of Islam puts on akhlaq is, it's incredible. It's so much that a person cannot attain perfection in their iman if they don't have akhlaq. In fact, perfection or kamal in their iman is not affiliated or linked with praying more salah. It's not linked with fasting more. It's not dependent upon more hajj or umrah. In fact, the perfection of Iman is linked with good akhlaq. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that Inna akmal al mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqa, that amongst the mu'mineen, the person who has the highest, the most kamil darja of Iman is that person who has the best akhlaq. So through good akhlaq, a person attains kamal, perfection in their iman. Today, many Muslim, they wish that we haven't seen our beloved Prophet in this world. If only we can get to see the Prophet maybe in a dream, again and again. So people say that I've been deprived of the ziyarat of the Prophet in this world. If only I could be blessed with the ziyarat of Medina Munawwara again and again in my life. Many people make dua, they do wazifas, that somehow, what amal can I do so that I'm buried in Jannatul Baqi in Medina Munawwara? All these things are incredible blessings of Allah Ta'ala. To have the ziyarat of the Prophet in a person's dream, to be able to see Medina, go there to Medina Munawwara and do ziyarat of the Gumbad-e-Khazra, to be able to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. But there's a blessing which is greater than all of these blessings, which is that a person finds space at the feet of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Yawm Al-Qiyamah, that he drinks from the Hawz-e-Kawthar from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's own hands. And who will find these blessings? So the Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith of Barakah that Inna ahabbakum ilayya wa akrabakum minni manzilatan yawm al-qiyamah ahasinukum akhlaqa. That person who will be the most beloved to me amongst you and the one who will be closest to me with respect to maqam, position, status, station, will be that individual who has the best akhlaq. So through good akhlaq, a person, we can gain the closeness, nearness of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. In this dunya, there are so many things that are very big with respect to their size and volume. But in terms of their weight, they're very light. For example, cotton or hay or things like that. They have a very big volume and size, but they're extremely light in terms of their weight. And on the other hand, there are many things which are not very big in size, but they're heavy in terms of their weight, like iron, big rock. We see this distinction in many things in this world. In the same way, there is going to be a difference in our a'mal on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. There'll be some a'mal that will seem to be very huge in size, but in terms of their weight, they'll be very light. And on the other hand, there'll be some a'mal, some actions that will apparently be very small in size, but they'll be extremely heavy in terms of their weight. And we all of us know that on Qiyamah, the sizes of our actions will not be considered. Rather, it's the amal, the weight of those amal, that would be considered, that would be weight. So if someone asks this question, then what would be the heaviest thing on the balance in Yawm al-Qiyamah? Person might think that maybe it's Salah, or you might think it's Hajj, or you might think it's Roza or fasting. But the Prophet ﷺ said that ma shay'un athqala في ميزان المؤمن يوم القيامة من خلق حسن. That on the day of Qiyamah, the heaviest deed of a person on that scale, on that balance, is going to be their good akhlaq. And this is a mistake that many of us we make, that we don't give much importance to akhlaq. We don't consider this to be a big deal. But on the day of judgment in Akhirah, this is going to be the heaviest thing on the scale after Iman. When the Prophet ﷺ, he migrated to Medina Tayyibah, he delivered his first address, speech to the people of Medina. And one can imagine that this speech, the first speech, the first message to the people of Medina, how important would that message be? And how important would those teachings be in that message? Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that when the Prophet ﷺ, he came to Medina Munawwara, In jafal an-nasu alay. There were people who had gathered to meet the Prophet ﷺ, and there were many people. They were vying with each other to meet, to mulaqat with the Prophet ﷺ. فَكُنْتُ فِي مَنْ جَفَلَ. That I was also among those who wanted to meet the Prophet ﷺ when gathered around the Prophet ﷺ. He narrates that when I saw the Mubarak face of the Prophet ﷺ, عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ. That I knew that this face could not be the face of a liar. And the first words that I heard from the Mubarak tongue of the Prophet ﷺ were these that the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ. Spread salam. Say salam to everyone, because this is a message of peace. It's a message of love. It should be widespread so that the society becomes peaceful, loving towards each other. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Feed the hungry and the poor. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَصِلُ الْأَرْحَامُ. And form and connect and join and strengthen your kinship ties, your relationships that you have with other people around you. Strengthen those ties of kinship. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَصَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. That wake up at night and pray to Allah Ta'ala in such a state that everyone else is asleep. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامُ. And if you do these four actions, these a'mal, you will enter Jannah easily and peacefully. This is the first address of the Prophet ﷺ to the people of Medina Munawwara. And the Prophet ﷺ in this address is mentioning four. He's telling people to do four things. Afshu salam, spreading salam. Number two, feeding the poor and the hungry. Number three, strengthening kinship ties. And number four, waking up at night and praying tahajjud. If we observe closely, we realize that out of these four things, the first three are related to akhlaq. And the fourth thing, and in that particular order, fourth is related to ibadat or worship. So this is an incredible teaching of the Deen of Islam, which shows how important akhlaqiyat are in the religion of Islam. What we haven't really understood what the Deen is. Many people, we have false image of the Deen of Islam. You ask any person who's a religious person, they'll say that person who has the right belief, or maybe who practices the rules of the religion, or maybe who's adorned with the sunnah, prayers, salah, fasts, this is a religious practicing Muslim to us. However, indeed, all these aspects are a part of religion. Ibadat is a part of religion. Aqidah is a part of religion. Our mu'amalat are also part of religion. Our mu'ashrat is also part of religion. But just like that, akhlaqiyat is also an integral part of our deen. And until and unless we revive this akhlaq, we don't have that perfect, complete understanding of the Deen of Islam. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that you should adorn yourself. Hassinu akhlaqakum. That adorn yourself with good akhlaq. And in that first message, three teachings are about akhlaq. And the fourth one is about ibadat. So this is showing to us that how important it is in the Deen of Islam to become a person who has good akhlaq. That we have to work on this aspect of ourselves. Once there was a Sahabi who came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked that, Ya Rasulullah, what is the essence, the core of the Deen? What is the core of the religion that you have brought to us? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Husnul khuluqi, good akhlaq. Then that Sahabi came from another side, right side, and I again asked the same question, that Ya Rasulullah, Mad Deen, that what is the essence, the core of this deen that you have brought to us? Again, the Prophet ﷺ said, Husnul khuluqi, good akhlaq. Then that Sahabi moved from there and came from the left side and asked the same question. Ya Rasulullah, mad deen, what is the deen? What is the core of this deen? And again, the Prophet ﷺ gave the same reply, Husnul khuluqi, good akhlaq. Then that Sahabi moved from there and came from behind the Prophet ﷺ and asked the same question. And the Prophet ﷺ answered, the whole essence and summary of this deen is that one should not become angry without reason. Don't become angry. So this is the need of our time, that we have to make ourselves owners and bearers of this attitude. And the first thing that we need to work on that's mentioned in this hadith is anger. Not to be angry. That's the bunyad, that's the foundation of good akhlaq. And that's what we want to mention today in this brief session that we have. That what is the reality of anger? What are the signs of anger? And then what's the treatment of anger? And to look at some of the stories of the Sahaba and of the Prophet ﷺ, how they were people who exemplified this trait of controlling their anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this anger, and it's actually a blessing. It's a blessing which can help a person safeguard himself from harmful things. We say anger in English, but in Arabic or in Quran, the two words that are used are ghazab and the second is ghaiz. Two words that are used to describe anger. And there is a slight difference between the two of them. Ghaiz is a word which is used for when a person is angry at someone, but that anger is inside you. It's an internal. Internally he gets angry at someone. So the feeling of anger is deep inside his chest. That anger is called ghaiz. It remains inside. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't act upon that anger. Ghazab, on the other hand, is the other word which is used for that anger that a person not only feels inside, but also has the intention to act upon it. It includes an outward manifestation of that anger. There is a motive, revenge. So both these words, ghazab and ghaiz, are used in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this verse in Quran that walqadhimin al-ghaiz, that there are people who swallow their anger. And just that word is telling us that there are people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing nafi of their anger. It's not negating anger altogether. But rather the quality of good people is that they control their anger. That you swallow their anger. It doesn't mean that you cut off their anger. They do feel angry. They do feel angry. They have this emotion inside of them. But it means that they swallow and control this. So for a person to become angry, you know, that's part of our human nature. And even the Prophet ﷺ described about himself that I also get angry. I'm a human being. Just like other people get angry, I also get angry. However, the difference is that the Prophet ﷺ said that even when I'm angry, from my tongue, I always speak the words which are haq, which are true. Anger never makes me say something that is false, or never leads me towards injustice. So even though I feel angry like any other human being, I always act on justice and truth, on haq. So this is Qadhimin. So Sayyidina Rasulullah was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy for all the worlds. He said that even in the state of anger, whatever I say from my mouth is absolute truth, absolute justice. There was once a sahaba who asked the Prophet ﷺ that, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes I write down things that you say, and sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're angry. So the Prophet ﷺ said that being who sent me as a messenger, I swear in his name that even when I'm in a state of anger, I don't say anything that is wrong. I don't say anything that is incorrect. So that means that this is our sunnah teaching for us, that even in a state of anger, we should still remain on truth and on justice. Normally, what happens is that when a person feels angry, they lose control. They do something wrong, they do something unjust, they lose control over their senses. They don't even realize what they're saying. Sometimes when they say things, there's such strong words, harsh words that they say in anger, that they sever all relationships that they had for people for years. Sometimes a person ends up saying words that could potentially take them out of Iman. There's a danger of kufr. So we have to control this anger. This anger can bring about destruction in our life. It can sever relationships. It can sever a relationship between husband and wife. It can make a person husband, in a state of anger, sometimes a student can leave their teacher. A son can forsake his parents. Parents can forsake their son. So this happens, that sometimes the son gets upset with his parents, and in the anger he just leaves the house. And sometimes this anger can cause separation between servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person says words that take them outside the fold of Iman. So the reason we have to control our anger is because anger is something which is very destructive. It's something that can destroy our society, destroy our home. They can, and that's why the Sharia has made it far. It's absolutely mandatory for us to learn how to cure and limit our anger, so that anger, it remains within the boundaries of the Sharia. We shouldn't have the extreme anger, or become overly angry, or have anger beyond the needs and dictates of the Sharia. The Prophet ﷺ said that whenever I'm angry, my anger is for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Sharia. It was never anger for the sake of his own self, or the sake of his own nafs, or for the sake of his own mizaj, or for the sake of his own, well, his own message. Right? It was always for the Sharia, for the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Shaitan does. Shaitan comes with the anger. He tries to light the fire of anger inside of us, because he knows that when we get into a state of anger, then we will be uncontrollable. So Shaitan is with that person. He plays with that person when a person becomes angry. Just like, you know, if a boy plays with their soccer ball, you know, that's why Shaitan plays with a person when he becomes angry. So we should remember that we are speaking here about that anger which is impermissible. So from now on, when we use the word anger, we are speaking about that anger that is beyond what the Sharia Allah allows, that unlawful, impermissible anger. So the Sharia has prohibited this type of anger, that a person gets angry just on a whim or a fancy without any substantial reason. These people, you know, they become like they're blinded by their anger. And Sharia says that this anger is not permissible. We have to cure this type of anger. Now, when we look at anger, there are some causes which lead towards a person becoming angry. And the first cause of anger is arrogance. Because of arrogance and pride, a person gets angry. Sometimes a person gets angry because someone jokes with them, tease them all the time. Sometimes a person gets angry when you try to advise them, or they get scolded from someone. Sometimes a person gets angry because of envy or jealousy. But whatever the cause, there are, however, certain different ways that a person manifests that anger. There are certain symptoms which are present through which we can judge, we can tell that a person has anger inside. But sometimes people are in a state of denial. You say to them that you get angry very quickly. They'll say that I'm not such a person. I don't get angry. So, you know, anger is a disease, and just like physical disease and ailments, there are signs and symptoms, and through those signs, a person can identify whether I have that disease or don't have that disease. Similarly, anger is also a spiritual ailment, and they are certain signs through which we can judge for our own selves whether we have this problem inside of us or not. So the first symptom, sign of anger, is that there is a person, that person will stop talking to you. Or if you're angry, you will stop talking to that person whom you're angry with. You won't talk with that person. It's a sign that they're angry. He doesn't talk, he doesn't say salam, no kalam, no peram, no speech, no message. So he might have claimed that he loved you, but all of a sudden he stops talking. Now where does that love go? Just one scolding and then all that love is finished. That's the first sign, they stop talking. Second sign is that they don't look at us. And even if they don't look at us, they look not with the look of love. They look with the look of anger, as if they're just about to eat us. Third sign is ghibat. That whoever we're angry about, we start backbiting them. We start slandering them, we start exposing their faults. We start narrating their faults, that I meant this, but he said this, and he did this, and I understood this. He twisted my words, or he did that. Then number four is that you reveal the secrets of that person. For example, if they were friends and that person maybe had some confidence in you, when you were angry at them, you betrayed their confidence and you revealed their trust. You reveal their secrets. As a Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah, he said that if you want to make someone your friend, you should test and see whether that person is really capable of being your friend. And you should tell them something and tell them that it's a secret. And then you should do something to make them angry. And then you should see, does he share your secret with others? Or does he keeps your secret intact? If he doesn't share your secrets, then realize that he is your true friend and you should make him permanently your friend. But if he gets angry and he gives away all your secrets that you tell him, then you should realize that he's not a true friend and you should rather stay away from him. So this is another sign. Then another sign of anger is to start having jealousy or enmity towards another person. That's called kina. It means to bear inside your heart a grudge against someone. To secretively harbor feelings of enmity or hatred towards that person. That also happens. That's also another classic sign of anger. And at the ultimate level, is that a person starts to hit that other person, they actually assault, fighting with someone. All of these are signs of anger. And if a person finds that these signs are inside of them, that means that this problem of anger is inside of us. But the beauty of our Sharia is that Sharia is very comprehensive. It has given us a cure for all our spiritual ailments. And similarly, Sharia has given us a step-by-step cure for anger. So the first thing that we find in the hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ said that when a person feels angry and they feel that anger is overcoming him, the first thing he should do is that he should remain silent. He shouldn't speak. Allahu Akbar. Someone is disturbing him, he should just be quiet. And in fact, this is, the Sahaba used to mention this about the Prophet ﷺ also, that when, this was the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ himself, that when something used to disturb him, when he would get angry, he used to be quiet. But on his face, you could tell that he was disturbed and upset. And the Sahabi used to look at the face of the Prophet ﷺ and they would be able to recognize that he was angry just by his face. However, the first thing is that don't speak, don't say anything in a state of anger. So that will save you from saying anything that might be kufr, that will save you from uttering words of divorce or saying some other harsh words that would cut off your friends from you forever. So we should not speak when we are angry. There's a joke about this, that once there was this woman who went to an elder and said that there's a lot of fighting in the house, so please tell me, what should I recite? Give me any wazifa. And he gave her a piece of paper, folded it, and said that whenever a fight starts at your place, place this paper in your mouth. So she went home with it, and about a week later she came back and said that, I don't know what wazifa you told me, but since the time you have given me this wazifa, we hardly have any fights at home. Then that elder asked her to open that paper, and when she opened it, there was nothing written on that paper. When she used to put the paper in her mouth, it used to remain closed, and she could not speak anything. So the fight used to end. The second thing that we find in the hadith is that we should do, practically speaking, is that when a person feels a lot of anger, you should change your location. So for example, if he's sitting in a room and he gets angry, then he should go in a different room. Go into the courtyard, change your location, go in the garden. This is also something that can actually cool down your anger. You can change your position. If you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting, then you can lie down. Now, why did the Prophet ﷺ mention these things? The reason is that because the asal, the origin of a person, is the earth. So we should try to get closer to that earth, to our origin. If you're standing, we should sit down. If you're sitting, we should lie down. We should go closer to the earth. When we go closer to the earth, to the sand, then because earth has humility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then use that humility to cool the flames of his anger. And generally we also see this, that if a person is standing and he sits down or lies down, then normally, you know, he becomes distant from a posture where he can manifest that anger. If you're standing, that's more a posture where you can actually let your anger come out. But if you sit down, you back down from that posture, your stance of anger will also soften. If you lie down, then again, you're very difficult. If you're about to fight, it's very difficult to fight if you're sitting down. It's almost impossible to fight when you're lying down. So you remove yourself from that state or that posture or that stance of anger. And this is the deep wisdom in these teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, that do this, if that doesn't work, then do this, if that doesn't work, then do this. Whole series, whole steps, sequence of steps that we have in the Sunnah. And then if even after all of this, the person still feels angry, then number four is a person should drink water, or a person should make wuzu with water. Why? Because anger is like a fire, and fire will put out those flames. So when a person uses water, either by drinking or making wudu, this will cool down the fire, that fire of anger that is swelling up inside that person. It's something which all of us can understand very easily, right? So four things so far, right? To remain silent, to keep quiet, so that you don't utter any words that you would regret later on. Second was to change your locations. Third was to change your positions. And after, if still all of this doesn't work, then you drink water or make wudu with water. Four things. And the fifth thing is that even if a person's anger still has not cooled down, then a person should recite أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Why? Because many times it is shaitan who is stoking the flames of anger. Shaitan who is pushing us towards anger. So when a person is in a state of anger, shaitan, when you recite ta'awwuz, أعوذ بالله, you seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, then Allah will give you refuge. Once the Prophet ﷺ, he approached Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha and said that, "Oh Aisha, when you're in a state of anger, I can tell." And she said that, "Ya Rasulullah, how can you tell that I'm angry?" And he said that when you're happy, you say that I swear in the name of the Lord of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rabbi Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you're angry, you say that I swear in the name of Rabbi Ibrahim. So Aisha Siddiqa, she was also very clever herself. Allahu Akbar. So the second that the Prophet said this, that whenever you take my name, I can tell that you're happy, and whenever you're angry, you'll take the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Aisha, she said that, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm angry, I leave your name, but I don't leave you. When I'm angry, I just stop taking your name, I don't leave you. And then the Prophet ﷺ taught her a dua, that, O Aisha, whenever you become angry, if you read this dua, then your anger will go away. And what is that dua? That, O Allah, O Rabbi Muhammad, the Lord of Sayyidina Rasulullah, forgive me for my sins, take away my anger, and Allah save me from the whispers of those whispers which try to deceive me and distract me. Three things. That, O Rabbi Muhammad, Allahumma Rabbi Muhammad, Allah forgive my sins, take away my anger, and save me from those whisperings and those insinuations which lead me towards anger. So we should also try to make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah save us from this big illness which is anger. And then the Prophet ﷺ told us one final cure for anger, which is like a tonic cure for anger. That is, if that person regularly gets angry a lot, then that person should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if I am upset over the faults of people, if I get so angry over what people did to me, then how angry would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get with me over what I do, over the sins that I do? So if I allow myself to get angry over what people do, then what will happen to me on the Day of Judgment if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to get angry with me over what actions I do in this dunya? Once a Sahabi got angry at his slave, and the Prophet ﷺ told him that you're angry, you have power over him. You have some authority of command over him. However, remember that you have some authority over him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has infinitely more authority over you. So if you choose to exercise your authority today, then reflect that what will happen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to exercise his authority over you on that day. So a person should always remember, they should always remain watchful of his anger. Never let it increase, never let it swell up. Our mashayikh, they used to always treat other people very softly, kindly, even the people of sin, even the people of anger. And these stories are quite amazing, which teach us that how we also need to be, that even when someone is igniting and inciting us, our mashayikh, they used to be very soft, they used to be very compassionate. Once a person, he went to Mulana Rum Rahmatullah in a state of anger, and challenged Mulana Rum Rahmatullah that if you say one thing to me, I will respond with 10 things. Mulana Rum Rahmatullah replied that, "Oh my brother, if you say a thousand things to me, I won't even respond with one." So even in such a state, when a person normally would expect to get angry, even then they would not be angered. Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once a tabi'i, he said about him that Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu is very strict, he's very harsh. So Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he listened to what he said, and he said that if on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon me, then whatever you are saying will have no effect on me. If Allah ta'ala chooses to forgive me on Qiyamah, then you critique, your complaint has no value as long as Allah ta'ala forgives me on that day. And that there is a bridge, a test that I have to cross. If I manage to pass that test, your criticism has no meaning. Once the woman, she went to Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah, and in a state of anger she said something to him. But rather than getting angry, he said simply to that woman, that, "O woman, you have realized my reality. You have rightly said something bad about me. And after so long, someone has realized that what sort of a person I am." Allahu Akbar Kabira. Once a person, he got angry at Imam Shafi rahmatullah, and Imam Shafi rahmatullah just responded to him and said that, "Okay, if what you're saying is true, then I make dua to Allah Ta'ala to forgive me. And if what you're saying is not true, then I make dua for that other person that may Allah forgive you." That's it. He didn't get angry or shoot back or say something else. Allahu Akbar. So we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks at our inner condition. That these were people who, even in those moments when they could actually be angry, they would be very soft from inside. And this is that same attribute that we find in the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet ﷺ came back to Makkah Mukarma, Fateh Makkah, reconquered Makkah Mukarma, the Sahaba also had a bit of anger. Why? Because the people of Makkah Mukarma had left no stone unturned in trying to torment them, trying to attack them. And finally, the Sahaba, they were victorious, they came back. However, the Prophet ﷺ, he called all the unbelievers in Makkah Mukarma and then asked them that, "What should I do with you?" And they said that, "You are from a good family, a noble family. We hope that you will do good with us." And the Prophet ﷺ said that, "Yes, I will do with you the same thing as my brother Yusuf ﷺ did with his brothers." And he forgave his brothers, "So I will forgive all of you." He forgave all the enemies in Makkah Mukarma. This was the nature, the forgiving nature of the Prophet ﷺ. This is khuluq, this is akhlaq, that even those who treat us badly, you treat them well. There's another place where Allahu Akbar, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned three things, and he swore upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he mentioned those three things. Now this is a major thing to listen, that if the Prophet ﷺ is saying something anyway, it's a major thing for us. It's always guaranteed to be true. He doesn't need to swear to convince us of the truth, the veracity of his words. So anything that came from the blessed tongue of the Prophet ﷺ itself, that's a statement of proof, that's a statement of truth. However, for emphasis, the Prophet ﷺ, he swore that I swear upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he said those three things. So this means that these three things are 110,000% absolutely certainly true. What are those three things? Number one, the Prophet ﷺ said that that person who quickly forgives the faults of other people, in return for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will quickly forgive him on the Day of Judgment. And that person who quickly forgives the faults of other people, Allah will give him honor on the Day of Judgment. I remember that the Prophet ﷺ swore and said this. So think that if we can control our anger and forgive other people for whatever injustice they did to us, that would have made us, you know, that would give us honor on the Day of Judgment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ said was that that person who spends charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sadaqah. As a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never cause a decrease in his wealth. His spending charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only lead to an increase in that person's wealth. Charity will never decrease a person's wealth. And again, the Prophet ﷺ swore a qasam, an oath upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he said this. And the third thing that the Prophet mentioned is that that person who opened his hand in front of creation and he's begging before creation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the doors of poverty for him. And in that person who begs in front of others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the path of poverty, will take him into poverty, bankruptcy. So that's why the mashayikh, they used to say that swallow the gulp of anger. Because this is the most beloved thing that you could swallow in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Drink your anger. This is the most beloved drink you can drink in the eyes of Allah ta'ala. Once the Sahabi, once the Prophet asked the Sahabi that who is a wrestler? And the Sahaba said that a wrestler is that person who can throw a person down. But the Prophet said that no, a wrestler is someone who can wrestle with his nafs and throw his anger down. And this is the reality of anger. That those people who are weak, they are the ones who will quickly become angry. Anger is a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of strength. It shows weakness. This is child psychology, that when you hit children, it shows that you have lost. It shows that now you have lost the battle. People have written that usually people who are sick, they become angry, more angry than when a person is well. When a person is old, they tend to become angry than when a person is healthy. Women also have the tendency to become more angry than men, since many times they're in a weaker position. So you see, in a weaker position, anger comes out to compensate for that weakness. So many times being angry, it shows weakness. It does not show strength. Some people get angry very quickly. And it's very difficult for them to let go of their anger. That's the worst kind of combination to have. Quick to get angry, and that anger leaves them very late. So the Prophet said that out of these different combinations that you can have, the best is that a person who takes a long time to get angry, but once they get angry, the anger dissipates very quickly. The anger goes away very quickly. Now, there are three hadiths in Baraka, which are very important, which actually show to us the status, the rank, that martaba of that person who swallows his anger for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. How does Allah Ta'ala view such a person? What nobility Allah Ta'ala grants to such a person? So there are three hadiths. In the first hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that that person who is able to take out his anger on someone, and who could take out his anger on his family, on his friends, who has the ability to act on his anger, to take it out on maybe one of his matahed, his helpers, his servants. But for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he controls his anger. He doesn't take it out on someone else. Then, as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his heart with iman, faith, and aman. There will be peace, tranquility, and contentment in that person's heart. Allahu Akbar, such an incredible reward. Huh? Incredible gift for swallowing, containing our anger. That Allah Ta'ala fills our heart with iman and aman. And then second hadith, the Prophet mentioned that, again, that person has the ability to take out his anger, but instead chooses to forgive other people. Then, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call that person in front of a large crowd and tell him that go to Jannah and enter Jannah from whichever door you wish. So what was the purpose of doing all of this? The real purpose was that Allah Ta'ala would want to call him in front of a large group of people and announce his entry into Jannah in front of this large group of people. Just like in this dunya, when there you have these prize distribution ceremony, where you award the prize, you give the prize in front of a large gathering. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give this prize of Jannah to that person who controls their anger. So we should remember all these ahadiths. We should go back and share them with our family. It'll be very... If we remember these ahadiths, then it'll be very difficult for us to get angry with anyone. And the third hadith, the Prophet said that that person who has the ability to take out his anger has the opportunity to take out his anger, but still doesn't do it, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce in front of a large gathering that let that person rise who has a right over me, any right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Kabira. We speak about hukukullah, hukukul ibad, rights that we have towards other people, rights that we have towards Allah ta'ala. This is right that Allah, that person who has a right over me. Allahu Akbar. Let that person stand who has a haq over me. And in hadith it comes that nobody would stand up except that person who forgave people for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So we should just think and reflect to look at how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards that person who swallows and contains their anger. So therefore in our hearts we should make this intention that number one, we want to repent entirely from unjustified anger, unlawful anger, impermissible anger. And number two, even if we become angry, and even if our anger is justified, or there is a real cause for our anger, we should again remember and remind ourselves of all these ahadith, and then sacrifice that anger for the sake of something which is better, for the sake of the rewards of Allah Ta'ala in Akhirah, for the maqam and rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make a niyat today that Ya Allah, up till today, all the times that we have been angry, we have hurt people, hurt other people, hurt the hearts of other people, Ya Allah, we ask your forgiveness, and Ya Allah, we ask you to enable us to get that forgiveness of those people whose heart we have hurt. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah, out of his mercy and rahmah, forgive us for all of our sins, and may Allah ta'ala enable all of us to live a life in future as true human beings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove this feeling of unlawful anger from our hearts and grant all of us the ability to control our anger. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll make a short dua. سبحان ربنا الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك. اللهم اجعلني أحبك بقلبي كله وأرضيك بجهدي كله. اللهم إنا نسألك شوقا إلى لقائك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.